For weeks, we've been told we're headed for a recession and that the Fed acted too late to try to tame inflation. But now there's a different story. It's the business news headlines for Thursday, the 26th day of May. Thanks for being with us, everybody. In other news, a new owner for Wendy's, that could be in the cards. There is a warning about the next product that might be scarce at the grocery store. It is good, no great, to be the CEO. Just ask them and their paycheck. We've got the Wall Street Report, and this company just said goodbye to office life forever. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome once again to the Thursday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. We are so grateful that you are along for the ride again today, and you know, it suddenly dawned on us. Usually on Thursday, because it is a throwback Thursday, we put up some images, you know, some photographs from past interviews going back years, but we didn't do that today. We've been so busy trying to regroup from being gone for nearly 2 weeks that it's just kind of been that sort of day around here. But we are still on Twitter, and if you want to follow us there, you can find us at IOB_NewsHour. We're going to take a deep dive into something. You know, for weeks, pundits have been saying that the U.S. is headed for a recession and the Fed took too long to respond to the inflation issue. Now, a different story is emerging. So, like I just said, we're about to take a deep dive here, so try to stay with us for just a bit. MarketWatch is reporting that while the clearing out of speculative froth from the markets may be wrenching, there is little evidence in the investment and consumption fundamentals of the business cycle recovery to support a dire outlook. In fact, most economists you hear from are misreading and misrepresenting information about how we got here. Brian Bethune writes that it was mostly a misreading of the data and adds that as ugly as all of it has been during the pandemic, the massive rise in unemployment and deep contraction of the economy 2 years ago were little more than a blip. Nothing like the tumultuous 2008-2009 crisis, and that the inflation spike will soon fade as resources are reallocated to more critical infrastructure and productive uses, and prices in the economy find an equilibrium that has been the norm for decades. Now, he says there was a misreading of the unemployment situation. Now, here we go. Tracking the state of the employment markets during the pandemic proved to be a daunting task. But looking at the big picture, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 99.4% of the increase in unemployment from February to April of 2020, that's a total of 17.3 million, was accounted for by temporary layoffs, most of them legally mandated restrictions and closures. Moreover, 85% of the temporary layoffs were reversed by October of 2020, and the increase in permanent layoffs from February of 2020 to November of 2020 was only 2.7 million, or 1.7% of the labor force. In sum, the underlying unemployment rate rose by only 1.5 percentage points to near 5% during the initial wave of the pandemic, and now that has been greatly reversed. Meanwhile, consumers are continuing to consume, but their buying has been switching from goods to services like travel and eating out again. One of the reasons we've seen many of the tech companies that thrived during the pandemic are having issues today. Oh, and then there's the Fed response. Has it been too slow? Professor Bethune says that's not accurate either. The Fed's rate-setting committee adopted a quantitative 2% inflation target in January of 2012. That target was amended as an average rate of inflation of 2% in January of 2021. Over the 10-year period from the beginning of 2012 to 2022, the compound rate of change of the personal consumption expenditure deflator was 1.9%, below the Fed's long-term target of 2%. Now, if inflation over the next year conservatively tracks near 4%, the compound rate of change of that number, you know, the personal consumption expenditure deflator, from 2012 to 2023 would still be only 2.1%, 1/10 of a percent above the target. Real wages expanded by only, well, just a little more than 0.5% a year in 2020 and 2021, compared with output per productivity growth at 2.6% in 2020 and 2% in 2021. Now, if the Fed were behind the curve, or there was excess demand in the employment markets, real wages would be expanding at a rate greater than productivity. That's a lot of stuff for you to consume, and I understand that. And if you want to rewind that to listen again, you're more than welcome to do so. But we thought you might be interested in what's coming out as another perspective. So let's tackle something a bit lighter, shall we? Eat This, Not That is reporting that Wendy's may soon have a new owner. Tryon Fund Management, a majority shareholder of Wendy's, announced it is looking into a potential acquisition of the burger chain in hopes of making the company more profitable. A recent SEC filing confirms that Tryon, which owns 19.4% stake in Wendy's, is currently exploring a potential transaction to enhance shareholder value, one which could involve a third party and include an acquisition, merger, or other deal that would transfer control of Wendy's. Tryon and Wendy's go back a long way. The investment firm has been a shareholder since 2005, and in the past 17 years has been involved in some of Wendy's largest company-wide initiatives, including a massive remodeling program in 2012, a refranchising push in 2013, that was aimed at scaling back company ownership of stores, a $25 million investment in Wendy's digital operations in 2018, and even the breakfast menu rollout in 2020. All of this news could be good for Wendy's. We shall wait and see. Staying on the food beat for just a moment, Best Life is reporting that a cooking staple may be the next product that's scarce on the grocery shelves after June 1st. So what is it? Well, if you have a sweet tooth, you'll want to prepare for one crucial item that could be missing from shelves this summer. According to a statement from the Indian government, starting June 1st, sugar exports will be limited to 10 million metric tons during the current marketing season. As reported by Insider, restrictions will begin June 1st and continue through September. And from June 1st to October 31, sellers will also have to apply for approval to export any sugar. So what's with India? Well, the Indian government stated they would be implementing a cap to maintain domestic availability and price stability of sugar. Why? Well, the concern seems to be over potential price spikes there, particularly during the country's festival season. India is the world's largest consumer of sugar, and it's vital during the festive season, which begins in August, peaks ahead of Diwali, which is held in October this year, and continues through December. Yes, indeed, we truly are a global economy. Sugar. Hey, if you're a corporate CEO, life is good, real good, as you've watched your annual income soar by 17% and more this past year to a median of $14.5 million. That, according to data analyzed for the Associated Press by Equilar. Meanwhile, the average worker in the U.S. saw an increase in wages and benefits of only 4.4% during the same year. While this was the fastest increase on record going back to 2001, the raises for many rank-and-file workers failed to keep up with inflation, which reached 7% at the end of last year. CEO pay took off as stock prices and profits rebounded sharply as the economy roared out of its brief 2020 recession. Because much of a CEO's compensation is tied to performance, their pay packages ballooned after years of mostly moderate growth. Meanwhile, the chasm between pay for CEOs and the rank-and-file workers they oversee keeps widening. At half of the companies in this year's pay survey, it would take the worker at the middle of the company's pay scale at least 186 years to make what their CEO made just last year. And by the way, that's up from 166 years just a year earlier. Work harder, longer. Why not? Well, it was a big day on Wall Street as stocks soared. The Dow gained an impressive 516 points on the session and closed at 32,637, while the NASDAQ picked up 305 points, ending the trade at 11,740, and the S&P 500 gained 79 points to finish the day at 4057. Much of the rally was centered on better-than-expected retail earnings and waning concerns about an aggressive rate hike by the Fed. The NASDAQ, that had been beaten badly over the past several weeks, was powered up by gains from Apple, Tesla, and Amazon. At current levels, all three indexes are set to notch their biggest weekly gains since March. Hang on, we've got another day to go. And by the way, remember, markets are closed on Monday. And finally, there is this. TaskRabbit employees are saying goodbye to their offices forever. The IKEA-owned Task outsourcing company employs more than 200,000 gig workers around the world out of four global offices. But CEO Anna Smith told the Washington Post that employees made it clear those offices are no longer needed. Instead, the company is organizing monthly in-person meetings and embracing flexible remote work. Smith said this change will give TaskRabbit's gig workers even more autonomy around their schedules and lives as gig work continues to gain popularity. Bye-bye, office. And so, yeah, there is that. And that's a wrap. Thanks so very much for being with us for all of these news stories. For all of us here at the Business News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is the none other than Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.